Got a full show today, so we're going to start right out with a song. Listen to the words, and then I will introduce my first guest. Thanks for being here, folks.
There's a donation jar on a Catholic counter in a little Oregon town for the children who lost their parents when the mountainside came down. And you put in your folding dollar bill and you go along your way, and you wonder to yourself how it got to be that way, how it got to be that way. And then you see the mills and the workyards with the logs all stacked in rows, and you know it's timber country and that's how the money flows. And you see the dark green forests 100 miles wide with their roots all intertwined, holding up the mountainside, holding up the mountainside. There was a family lived on the mountainside in the beautiful evergreen shadow. And when the company came to clear cut, well, they knew there's gonna be trouble. And they took every standing tree as far as could be seen. And they must have made a fortune when they picked that mountain clean, when they picked that mountain clean. Now, there were those who cried a warning with what little voice they had. Oh, but the logic of the dollar is a logic that's gone mad. With their futures held to ransom and the axe all set to fall, they would not be satisfied until they took it all. Oh, until they took it all.
Well, that is the familiar and welcome voice of Jim Page, who has been a guest here in Astoria, welcome guest, and who tells it like it is. And I have a couple of guests here right now, one of whom is going to be telling it like it is tonight in a very different voice. So let me welcome Dr. Kathleen Dean Moore. Hi.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for inviting me here.
You're very welcome. And you have been on KMUN. And folks, let me tell you right now, so I don't forget, that if you'd like to hear more, although you might just as well come on over to the Liberty this evening, but if you want to hear a little bit more, or you're at a distance and won't be joining us, you can check on coastradio.org on Talk of Our Towns, because Kathleen joined Donna Quinn on Wednesday by phone, I believe, right?
Yes, I was still in Corvallis.
Okay, so this is actually your first time in person on KMUN, is that right?
Yes, and it's a pleasure.
All right, so we do have an almost radio virgin here, almost KMUN virgin. On the other side, on the second mic, is by no means a radio virgin, and that would be Nancy Cook. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, I'm not a virgin.
No. Radio. We're talking radio, Nancy. Let's
Sorry.
Keep it straight.
That's what I meant.
Of course. And Nancy's been here with wearing many different hats. Today she's here because she is the producer and host for this evening's Call to Life, an Earth Day in Gathering. It's gone by many different names, and I'm going to let my guests tell you why, including the variations on a theme of extinction, which I believe is a play on the music that we're going to be hearing tonight. This is going to be a fantastic presentation, concert, performance at the Liberty Theater. Come on over at 6:30. That's 12th and Commercial. No tickets, all age. And I'm going to, a little bit later, let Nancy tell you what's going on for everybody, including the kids. There'll be something special. But right, and Dr. Bob Pyle, Robert Michael Pyle, will be introducing with one of his poems. We'll be introducing the evening. So I'm going to ask you our guest to tell us it's you and your partner are putting on this evening. Tell us what this means, Call to Life.
My colleague, Rochelle McCabe, is a concert pianist. I was on a stage in Corvallis speaking about climate change and mass extinction, these emergencies of ecosystem collapse. And as I left, I was walking up the aisle, and Rochelle stepped out and said to me, "You know, when I hear you talking, I think of Rachmaninoff, the variations on a theme of Corelli."
Wow.
So I said, "Well, then we definitely need to talk and plan a program." And that's what we did. She taught me all about this music, and I wrote to the music, weaving words into the interstices between the variations. Our goal is to help people hear the facts about climate change and global extinction, which are so alarming, really, and kind of shattering, that it's very difficult to hear them. We are turned to stone, and we're unable to act in response to them because they are so big and so much of a challenge to us. So we're trying to use music to carry those ideas into people's minds directly. We like to say that we're trying to open people's hearts without breaking them.
I like that. I like that. Now, let me ask you, when you heard the Rachmaninoff, and this is the Variations on a Theme of Corelli is the name of the piece. Did you see what she was seeing in it, or what she was hearing? Since you're not a musician, I take it.
No, I wish
okay.
I were.
Don't we all? So what Rochelle immediately felt about the music when... Did that ring with you? Because I'm not familiar with the piece.
We went into her studio, and she began to play, and as she played, she started talking about how she felt that music and what she thought when she was playing it. And it became clear that the almost the narrative arc, the storyline in some sense of the music, was very much like the storyline of people who are encountering this devastation of these facts, where you start out in a mode of celebration. Look at this extraordinarily beautiful world, a world of wonders, and the beautiful part of the music. And then you begin to realize the challenges and the forces of destruction that are operating in the world, and you move into a place of grief, honestly, mm-hmm. which the music expresses with hollow chords and with augmented fourths, the sounds of human longing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moves toward the end into this resolution where there is so much determination and so much energy, and we can transform our hope into real courage.
Wow.
And we can transform our love of the earth into action. So it's the perfect piece
mm-hmm.
for the kind of emotional
wow.
movement that we all need.
Now, how long ago did you two start working?
I'm going to say it was about 2 years ago, maybe more.
Okay.
We've performed the piece about a dozen times.
Oh, great. Fantastic. So you had not thought of putting it together with music, but you haven't always been doing this work. You were teaching before as well, weren't you, at OSU?
Yeah, I am a philosophy professor.
Yeah.
And I also, at the same time, was a nature essayist.
Ah.
And I was very happily writing in celebration of the natural world until I realized that it was vanishing as quickly as I could write about it. And the frog pond that I had been celebrating in an essay was buried under a Kmart parking lot. And it became clear that I had to not only celebrate the natural world, but also actively work in its defense.
Wow.
And then, you know, the only tool I have is words. And it's very frustrating. And it became obvious to me that maybe in this case, words are not enough.
Mm.
And that we have to find another way to reach into people's spirits. And so when the opportunity to work with Rochelle came along, and the opportunity to weave words with music came along, it was a revelation to me.
Perfect, yeah, because music does open the heart and does open the mind as well, allows folks to hear. It's kind of like opens the pressure cooker so that you can feel what's going on.
It does. Yeah. And we need to work with both the mind and the heart. We need to understand and clearly, honestly see. We also need to feel very deeply and acknowledge our love.
Now, you were, you've published several books, is that correct?
I have a dozen books.
A dozen books. Mm-hmm. Oh, and what were the books on? Are they heavy-duty philosophy?
The first one is heavy-duty philosophy, and it's turning out to be very relevant. It's an examination of the moral justification for presidential pardons.
Oh, my God. When did you write that?
1990.
No way. Oh, Lord. You were a bit prescient even then, I tell you. So teaching and writing and publishing books, and then you came through your other part, the essays, the nature essays, and you put it all together, and now you're full-time doing this. You're still writing, I presume?
Yes, I left the university when it became clear to me that my work was not in the classroom, but it was in the world, and I had written by that point four books of nature essays, but the books that I wrote after that were about the moral urgency of climate action. So one of them is called Moral Ground, where we gathered the answers that the world's moral leaders gave to the question, do we have a moral obligation to the future to leave a world as rich in possibilities as our own? And then came Great Tide Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And now mm-hmm. my most recent book is called Piano Tide, and it is a novel about a transformative act of resistance in a small community on the Northwest Pacific coast.
How convenient, really. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ohio,
okay.
very near Cleveland, very near the Cuyahoga River, which periodically caught on fire from oil spills. So I'm very happy to be in Oregon.
I'm sure, yeah. But wherever you go, you're finding the need for the moral urgency. Yeah, I appreciate those words, moral agency, right, of action. And when did you first become aware of this concept of climate change?
At a conference in Aspen, I would say maybe even more than a decade ago,
mm-hmm.
Two people spoke. One was Gus Speth from the from Yale, who said, all we have to do to leave a ruined world for our children is to continue doing exactly what we are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I read a report from 500 scientists led by a team from Stanford, and their comment, which has stuck with me forever since, is unless we take immediate action, by the time today's children are middle-aged, the life support systems of the planet will be irretrievably damaged.
Yeah. And how did you find within yourself, because many of us are disturbed by this, what do you think was in you that gave you that real kick to say, that those words, moral urgency, but then you took action. Do you have any, because there are a lot of people who are so frustrated wanting to do something, but are not able to make that leap.
Well, yes, I can tell you the kick. The kick in the pants was when I thought, when today's children are middle-aged, and I thought, today's children, I know some of them, and mm-hmm. three of them are my grandchildren. I thought, Zoe, when Zoe is middle-aged, the life support systems, the fresh air, the fresh water, the nourishing soil will be irretrievably, that means forever gone, destroyed. And it became very clear and very personal to me. And I said, you know, that's it. How could anybody who loves their grandchildren, how could anyone who loves the world that nourishes their grandchildren do anything really but try to save it? That was really a turning point for me.
Now, did you have an early science background as well? Because you said you were teaching philosophy, and there are all kinds of... I just took a philosophy class this morning through the Encore program, yes. And it's about terrorism, of all things. Hmm. But the instructor, who drives all the way from Portland, she's a protege of Seth Titchener's, Kirsten Severson, said that what she was used to was talking about, you know, ancient times and dead people, and here she is now. So what? But you clearly had science in your sphere. So how did that happen?
My father was a field botanist and a naturalist at the museum by the river. And my mother was a science educator. I credit her with thinking up the school gardens, an outdoor school.
Oh, my goodness.
My son is a biologist. Okay. My husband is a biologist who's a specialist in the rough-skinned newt. It surrounds me. I have that gift.
Okay, I see. I had no idea, but it just like philosophy, but the science is so strong in you, and now I see it's actually genetic as well as by association and everything else.
Right.
Well, it's fantastic. And Nancy, I would like you to tell us what else is going on. Now, again, folks, if you just tuned in or this has taken you into such another world, let me remind you, the gathering is this evening. Come on over at 6:30 to the Liberty Theater at 12th and Commercial. No tickets needed, all ages, and open seating, of course. So do join us. Tell us what else is happening, Nancy.
So my vision was that if we're going to bring the marvelous, the truly marvelous Kathleen here, we need to work this event to the max. And we did receive an Oregon Humanities Responsive Program grant to pay for the Liberty. And a big part of that is audience engagement. So we thought about this and we decided the lobby is going to be full of all sorts of information. So audience members can come, enjoy some snacks there in that 6:30 to 7 p.m. hour. We have donated food from the food web and the co-op and beer from the Fort George. Thanks, Jack. And you come in and circulate and meet with people who are doing what we can do in our local communities. So we've got the North Coast Watershed Council, Columbia River Estuary Action Team, which you know about.
Create.
You were big into no LNG. We've got Haystack Rock Awareness Program. I think they're going to give us an update on the puffins, which is one species that we're worrying about locally. And then we're going to think about the beautiful things we do. Citizens Climate Lobby is coming. The list is large. Indivisible North Coast will be there to make us think about how our vote counts. One of my favorite parts is the things we do really naturally in this community, which is like our North Coast food web. I think we have a deep commitment and an ability to eat locally. So we've got information from those guys. We're talking about how you can restore your windows with Katie Rathmull and the Astoria Makers Repair Cafe. So all these ways to celebrate what we do here, because I think we are very committed. Solve will be there. And then
the CTC children?
Art students have some little projects going on in that opening period. Fun stuff. You can make an Earth Day button. We get this banner. And then in the basement, we got CRMM involved. Columbia River Maritime Museum is doing their life cycle of the Pacific salmon. And designed for ages 6 through 12. If you're thinking about bringing kids, we really ask you to be there by 6:45 to get them settled in, because the main event upstairs will start at 7. There is a little music on stage beforehand. But that's the plan. My food guru, Sheila Beveridge, if she's listening, is working busily. We've got snacks for you. Okay. Another major partner has been the Cannery Pier Hotel, who put up Kathy and the Pacific Unitarian Universalist Fellowship are using this occasion to celebrate their seventh principle, which is the interdependent web of all existence. So they're helping with the KID program, and they've been really central. And actually, Reverend Kett, who I believe is out
is
in the lobby.
On next.
Yeah, she's going to help us with some
That's great.
Songs that happen at the end. We are going to also get the chance to meld words with music and respond.
Well, this is amazing. So this is going to be a very, very rich evening. Come on over and join us, folks. Thank you to my guest. That was Nancy Cook, you just heard, who is, for those not in the local area, Nancy is an instructor of writing and literature at Clatsop Community College. She's an important part of the faculty, and she coordinates Ales and Ideas one Thursday evening a month. And my guest on the show, and also our guest here in Astoria, Dr. Kathleen Dean Moore, who will be our speaker, presenter, writer, along with her colleague, Rochelle McCabe, who will be performing Rachmaninoff's Variations on a Theme of Corelli, which tonight is Variations on a Theme of Extinction. And it's going to be a wonderful piece of art. I noticed that you you mentioned somewhere that art allows for total emotional involvement. And I think that's part of the deal, signing up with the mind, the heart, and the spirit. So thank you so much for coming, Kathy.
Yes,
it's
thank
great.
You, Carol.
And Nancy, thanks for putting this together. You did a
thank
great job.
Thank you. We are so lucky.
Okay. Stay tuned, folks. I've got a piece of music right now from the Horsenecks, who are going to be at the Adrift this evening at 8:30. But also, I want you to listen up, because there's a contra dance tonight at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center at 7 o'clock. And you might hear music like this there, too. This is Coast Community Radio. Okay, that's the Horsenecks, one of those fabulous new bands in town. And again, they'll be at the Adrift later in the evening tonight. And you can catch them around town. They are now Astorians. And don't forget the contra dance, eh?
Did you say they were going to be adrift later this season?
They're
going to float away.
They're on the float. And the contra dance is tonight also. I wish there weren't so much happening tonight, but you get to choose what you would like to do. That's at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center with Hobie and Gina and Knox and Larry. And right now, actually, let me think. I think all four of those people are involved in the project that my next guests are going to be talking about, and that would be the Pete Seeger 99th birthday celebration. And that is happening a week from tomorrow night, Saturday night, the 28th, and it's happening at the Performing Arts Center. It is a benefit for the fabulous Performing Arts Center, a building we love and are trying to and will preserve. So welcome, and you've already been introduced to one of my guests because my last guest introduced Kit. Kit is here because she is, Kit Ketchum is the conceiver of this grand celebration, and I think it was probably a year ago that she got it together and started hustling the locals, and, which included, of course, Joseph Stevenson. And Joseph is an old hand at putting on musical productions here in the Astoria, Clatsop County area. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah. So, Kit, what, and I don't know whether you heard, you were introduced in the last set because apparently you're helping out this evening.
Yes.
So, from the, Kit is the leader of the POOF. That's the Pacific Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Yeah. Or maybe it's Universalist Unitarian. It's all the same. Good stuff. So, Kit, where did this come from? Tell us.
In 2009, I was a pastor on Whidbey Island, up mm-hmm. north of Seattle. And we decided we were going to do our little band of musicians that would get together every week and practice, you know, would jam. We decided we would put on a Pete Seeger show. We knew his 90th birthday was coming up. And so we thought, okay, this is our chance, you know. And so we pulled it together. We took only a matter of a few months to do it. We just invited, you know, all the little hobby bands to come mm-hmm. and participate. And we put on a good show, and the place was packed.
Yeah.
We just had
Pete Seeger, come on.
People were sitting in the foyer and out on the patio.
Wow.
You know, it was
wow.
just, we were way over our load limit for the
right.
building. But
that would be nice.
And it was a huge success, and the income that we got from it went to charities in the in the community, and we raised about $1,600, something like that,
nice.
And divvied it up between my church and the mm-hmm. and the charity, and it was a huge success. And when we were all feeling so down in the dumps last spring,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, man, we need Pete Seeger right now. So that's when I reserved the room, you know, the stage at the PAC, and put us there on the agenda for April 28th and started talking to friends. And I talked to Gina Kiter, and she was the first person I talked to, and she thought, I think that's a really good idea. So we kind of started there, and it snowballed.
And it's grown and grown and grown. Joseph, how did you get sucked? I mean, how did you get involved?
Hey, I'd like to turn it around on you, Carol. Do you think most of your listeners know who Pete Seeger is?
Well, you know, I'm really glad you said that because I was a bit shocked to discover that some people don't know who Pete
That's
Seeger
right.
is. So why don't you give us some of that?
Well, you know, I almost hate to say this. This will kind of date me a little bit. But when I was a child, I heard Pete Seeger 78 RPM records in my house.
Right.
It was part of the family soundtrack. And I used to see Pete Seeger performing fairly regularly. So mm-hmm. it wasn't, he was just part of my childhood. I'd be surprised if you didn't see Pete Seeger a lot when you were young.
I did, yeah. Pete Seeger, and I saw him when I was not quite as young, too. I saw him up at Chautauqua, upstate New mm-hmm. York. He and Arlo Guthrie, and mm-hmm. Pete Seeger knew all the words to all the songs, mm-hmm. and Arlo was kind of forgetful about it.
We still haven't said anything about who he is.
Who is
but,
he?
Well, he was born in the teens, about 1920, something like that. And he grew up and got interested in music and didn't didn't jibe with college, and he kind of hit the road and started picking up tunes. He ran into Woody Guthrie at some point, who sort of taught him how to hitchhike and busk on the street. He rode freight trains with Woody. He spent a part of the 30s just roaming around the country and playing in saloons and street corners and stuff like that, and learning songs wherever he went. But he also was a quite intelligent guy, came from an academic family, and studied the subject of American folk music. It was the folk music that he zeroed in on. Gosh, it's a long story. He did so much. Eventually, he got interested in international music. He traveled all over the world, collected songs everywhere, took American songs to other countries, brought songs from other countries here. There's a few that people will recognize, Kumbaya and Wimowe, the Guantanamera. These are songs that Pete brought to this country from other places. He was a touchstone for music and music associated with politics early on, the labor movement. Later on, he got more into the peace movement. And eventually, in his later years, he moved away from politics and became more interested in ecology. He actually built himself a cabin on the banks of the Hudson River. And there was a lot of pollution rolling down that river, PCBs from industrial plants upriver. And he had a great deal to do with the campaign to clean up the Hudson River. And apparently today it's relatively clean river, which it was definitely not back then.
Well, this fits, boy, this is quite a show. These two pieces mm-hmm. of the show mm-hmm. fit together well. So can you tell us... Kit, how is it going to work? This is happening Saturday night, mm-hmm. the 28th, at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin, and it's a benefit for the PAC. We don't give prizes, but it's certainly reasonable. And where can people get their tickets in advance?
People can. Most of the posters have the brownpapertickets.com on them, and that's how people can get tickets in advance online. But we are going to be selling tickets at the door.
Yeah.
Adult price is $15, 12 and under.
Okay.
12 and under. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, really? It's free for 12 and under. Mm-hmm. That's a nice...
When accompanied by an adult.
Of course. I can see the whole classroom coming in. How many performers do you have?
Counted up this afternoon. We have 45 performers.
Oh, my gosh.
All of whom will be on the stage all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we have all kinds of support people, mm-hmm. too. You know, volunteers mm-hmm. from the church doing the refreshments mm-hmm. and... things like that, and the partners for the PAC have been helpful with publicity.
So the music is going to be these 45 musicians. It's not a chorale, so they're not all going to be performing at once.
No.
What have you got happening? Joseph, are you doing any music, or are you just...
Yeah, I'm going to be playing one song with Jennifer Berg.
Oh, good.
A lot of the song that we'll be doing is song that Pete wrote, took the words from the Bible. It's actually the only song that ever became a number one pop hit in the United States where the words came from the Bible.
Turn, turn, turn.
Turn, turn,
yep.
turn.
Yes, I yep. play it yep. every year for Rosh Hashanah.
And people will probably sing the chorus with us. So everybody's welcome to sing all through this. So my group will be just two people. There will be songs that just one person does by themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There will be songs that everybody knows and everybody is welcome and invited to sing on them. The Brownsmead Flats, for example, will be there and doing a number of those songs that a lot of people know
songs,
already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I Had a Hammer and...
Flowers.
Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
We Shall Overcome, things like that were real anthems for Pete. Luke and Katie are going to be in on it. Bob Lennon and Dale Clark, they call themselves Geezer Creek.
Right.
C-R-E-A-K.
Who else? Some other names?
Dinah Urell is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Susie McCleary will be performing. Mm-hmm. Jerry Middaugh and Joanne Rideout. You may have heard of her.
Oh, and Ray Ryhala and
Ray
Denise Ryhala.
Ray and Teresa
Denise
as well.
And his daughter Teresa.
Oh, and Teresa
going to
too.
Be, yep,
sweet.
We're gonna, that's, they call themselves Trihala.
Yes, they
they've
do.
They performed it.
They used to perform.
Around here quite a bit.
Nice.
John Snyder's going to be doing a number of tunes. A mm-hmm. woman from the peninsula named Sandy Nielsen, who
oh, yes.
had a nice profile in the... In the Chinook paper, was it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
So there is quite a variety, and the people got to choose their own songs. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of Pete Seeger songs, and you have other songs as well.
Is that mm-hmm. interesting. Dinah mm-hmm. Urell is going to be singing Forever Young, which is a Dylan song.
Right.
Yeah, but Pete Seeger sang it. Made
okay.
it legit for us.
There you go. As long as there was a touch. Well, I've got something lined up, actually, because it isn't all going to be very serious.
That's right.
Did you get that?
Yep, I sure
oh, did.
Did
it. Oh,
I
good.
Got it going. So.
How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin and think of the places my get-up has been.
Well, I've got three of us grinning in this room right now. Kit, you're going to be singing this song?
I'm singing this song
oh,
with
great.
Geezer Creek.
With Geezer Creek. Yeah. That's wonderful. Three geezers. Okay. So, folks, put this on your calendar. And I hope that a lot of you did know before who Pete Seeger is. Whether or not you did, this is an American hero, a real American hero, the kind Debbie Twombly plays about. You don't have to pick up a gun, you pick up a guitar or a pen. And it's going to be a joyful, joyful evening. And you're going to be knowing that you are helping to... keep part of the history of Astoria as well with the Performing Arts Center. Any last words, folks?
Yeah. Anybody who grew up here probably has heard the song, Where's My Pajamas? Where's
yeah.
My Pajamas?
Oh, it's sung by Pete Seeger.
That's who was singing it.
That's right. Of course. Well, thank you so much, Kit Ketchum and Joseph Stevenson. Again, folks, this is Saturday night, the 28th. You can get your tickets at Brown Paper Brown Paper Bag or Brown Paper.
Brown Paper Tickets.
Brown Paper Tickets.
Or at the door.
Or at the door. Thanks so much
yes.
for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
It's always fun to be here.
Yeah.
Children there dressed in red, dressed well through the sea. It must be the children that Moses led 12 days through the sea. Oh, sing it. Get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. There's 12 days through the sea. Ain't nobody there gonna keep us out. There's 12 days through the sea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a beautiful city. Well, we're going to make it beautiful. We're going to make the world beautiful. You've heard my last guests. I've got my third guest spot here, and some of you may know Ron Walker's been around for quite a while. I knew him as a musician. I did not know that he was all... I'm still not sure. Ron, what is the story? You're a musician.
Yes.
And you teach music.
Correct, yes.
So where did the documentaries come in suddenly? I never heard of them.
Well, to make a long story short, in the 70s, I worked as a music composer for a film company in Portland. And I did their music for their films. And that's where I learned how to make films. So, and I realized as a musician that it's a natural marriage, the marriage between film and music.
Very good. So tell us what you're doing now. Tomorrow, let me just give people the logistics. Tomorrow, that's April 21st, at the Seaside Library at 1 p.m., Ron is going to be screening a couple of his documentary films. I've got the names of them, but I'm not really sure. I have Richard Small's Steamboat, which is a short 6 minutes, and then Merwin Short, speaking of shorts, My Life on the River, including 1920s footage. Is that right?
Well, not really the footage. There's still photographs of the boats that he worked on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us what these are. Mm-hmm. And are they relate? They sound related.
Yeah. Well, okay. Merwin Short was a deckhand on the boats that went from Portland to Astoria in the 20s and 30s.
Okay.
And so I had the privilege of interviewing him. This footage was shot in the 90s, and I consider it to be precious because he has a lot of stories about, personal stories about what it was like to work on those boats. His father worked owned the Undine, the Laureline, the Georgiana. His father's name was Carl Robert Short. His grandfather's name was Marshall Sherman Short, and Marshall Sherman Short, his grandfather, started the steamboat business in the 1800s.
Oh,
so this was like before there was even a way to get from Portland to Astoria. Mm-hmm. The only way you could do it was by steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find these guys in the textbooks and all that, history books and stuff. But in order to, you know, really appreciate the time, you have to hear it from the, you know, hear it from the horse's mouth.
So what did you do?
Well, I was, I hang around boats a lot. I like to hang around on docks and moorages. And this fella, Merwin Short, happened to be getting onto his boat, which he made a big metal, you know, steel cabin cruiser. And I stopped him in his tracks, and I found out who he was. He said, come aboard, and I had my camera. I always have my camera with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were total strangers. And I got this wonderful interview.
Nice. So this is, and then you edited it, and this is what we're going to see tomorrow.
Yeah, and the editing is, you know, we see some talking heads. He's a great storyteller, so mm-hmm. you don't get tired. He's an elderly man, and he's smoking his pipe, you know, sitting in his captain's chair in his boat. But the stories he tells are fantastic.
Oh, great.
And great. And then there's a sequence where I like to do music. I did original music for this film, where it's just music up, and I'm cutting to images of a real steamboat, which is mm-hmm. the city of Portland owns a steamboat, mm-hmm. a vestige from the yesteryear. And so I got to ride on that boat. So you get to ride on a real stern wheeler down in the engine room and so forth, and it's cut to my music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not all talking heads.
So, okay, so this is tomorrow. Is this the only time you're going to be showing these films?
Good question, Carol. No, it will be shown, if you miss it tomorrow, June 2nd at the United Methodist Church on Franklin Street. It's for a fundraiser for their warming center.
Oh, great.
And,
okay.
It's at 7 p.m., but they also have a spaghetti feed that same day.
Oh, that's fun.
At 4:30.
Okay. Well, we'll get that down in the calendar for later. Right now, folks, this is tomorrow, Seaside Library, and it's 1 p.m. My guest is Ron Walker. Ron, is there somewhere that people can contact you if they want to know more about what you do?
Yeah, well, they can email me, riverwalker1946 at charter.net. Yeah, I'm always game for new ideas for films. This is a labor of love, so lay it on me if you have any ideas. I love history.
Hey, you're putting it out there. Okay, folks, he said it. I didn't offer him. He said it. So take advantage of him when an artist offers this. And I haven't seen Ron's film work, but I've heard his music, and he's excellent. So I'm sure his films are just as high quality. Congratulations on getting this done, and you're doing other films as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a film right now on local musicians.
There you go.
And,
okay. You got plenty of them. That'll keep you busy.
They're all great.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Ron Walker, thank you so much for coming in,
Carol,
Ron.
And thank you for this wonderful program.
Hey, thanks. And I'm going to put on some music from my last guest and also tell you a little bit about what else is going on. Right here, this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. So. So let me just tell you that this is the last weekend for the Coaster Theater. Noises off. That's tonight and tomorrow night. It's hilarious. Astor Street Opry Company has See How They Run, also hilarious. That's one more weekend in addition to Friday and Saturday at 7. They're also doing a Sunday performance. Don't forget the Contra Dance at the AAMC, Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And Tuesday at the Fort George upstairs, it's AAMC's benefit night, so you can support them. Kala at 8:30 or 9 o'clock is featuring our spring DJ dance with Joey Altruda, who played four-plus hours of music straight through for the KMUN birthday party. North Beach Tavern has Rockfish Blues Band. That's in Long Beach. And you'll recognize those folks oh my goodness, this music is incredible. It's so powerful. And then Saturday at 3 o'clock, they have Sheck P. Adrift has Horsenecks and Saturday Letter Word. Let's see, Winecraft tonight. Mary Lou McCauley at 7 o'clock is going to be featuring her new book, 900 Moon Journey, Poems and Encounters. She has some wonderful material in there, and she does a beautiful job reading. That's tonight at Winecraft, the foot of 11th Street in Astoria. And tomorrow, the Lasses and Catherine Clare are at the Peninsula Arts Center, and their Razor Clam Fest, and there's a Seaside Music Fest. Oh, my goodness, going on. And I had my a tune to play for you. I may fit that in. It's Jenny Don't and the Spurs. So they've got a whole thing. It's tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 3, and it's at the Elks in Astoria. Tonight at 7, tomorrow at 3 at the Elks. The Pitchwood Ale House in Raymond is featuring Basin Billies. AVA members, Art Salon at Studio 11 from 1 to 4 tomorrow. You can become a member on the spot. And there is lots more going on. Seth Titchener is doing Wit and Wisdom at the Lovell Room on Thursday night. And Repair Cafe is Wednesday. And right now is my guest, Corey Peterson. And Corey, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
You bet. You have the Columbia River Symphony 10th anniversary. Holy cow. That is fantastic. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
I know. It's just the word decade makes me shiver a little bit.
You don't look old enough.
Well,
that's
you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So you're doing concerts tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Tomorrow is at the North Coast Family Fellowship, Wahana Road in Seaside at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
These are free concerts. And on Sunday at Patriot Hall and Clatsop Community College at 3. So tomorrow at 7 and Sunday at 3. What are you doing?
Well, this is it's exciting for us. It's hard to believe, as you said, 10 years ago, my wife and I moved out here, and some little tiny project turned into something a little more than we ever anticipated. And, so here we are, 10 years down the road, and so I told the symphony members, let's just go ahead and do something a little bit stronger than what we're used to, which is pulling all of our music from our past 10 seasons and selecting what we could from all those with the members that we had for the strength of the members that we currently have. And so we've got a lot of old music that we've performed, and then we've got a few newer selections to share with the community.
And the one of the most exciting things about the Columbia River Symphony, in addition to its being excellent, is that it started, Corey's wife is Angela Calvin Peterson, mm-hmm. who's the strings teacher at Astoria High School, and so many children and young people have benefited through that, and through Corey and Angela both being in Jewell's School and all the Astoria schools, and that's what's incredible about the Columbia River Symphony. It started with mm-hmm. children.
Yeah.
It started to give the children a place to actually learn what it feels like to perform.
Well, we're going to share some of the past clips, photos, videos. We actually have the very first video of our first performance ever of this ensemble. And you're right, it's you try not to get teary-eyed as you go through all those pictures mm-hmm. and look at all the kids who are now, if they're still there, grown up, or the adults that are still with the group. And it really does... Well, it changes your perception of the importance of music, I guess, mm-hmm. if you think of a more of a thin mindset, because the growth that's happening, as you said, from all these individuals and what it has done for the output of the community and beyond, it's
well,
inspiring.
And I know at a recent meeting, one of our adults said, comparing herself to her sibling,
mm-hmm.
what made the difference in a successful, joyful life and a very sad, tragic life
mm-hmm.
was music.
Absolutely.
Picking up an instrument and making music. And so we support that totally here.
Yeah.
I love what you said. It's what feelings sound like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, again, this is tomorrow at the North Coast Family Fellowship. That's 2245 North Wahana Road in Seaside at 7 o'clock. And then, same concert, right?
Same concert. Yeah. Just two locations,
so
yes.
One or the other. So the other is Sunday, Patriot Hall at Clatsop Community College. Now, Patriot Hall is the new building, is that right?
Absolutely the new one, yes.
Holy cow, what are you doing? It on the track or something? Where are you going to be?
Well, we're on the floor. We did the Veterans Day function down there.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It was actually quite a fun experience. So we're moving on in.
Okay, 3 o'clock, and both of the concerts are open to the public, of course, all age, and they are a gift to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, Corey, thank you so much for all that you and Angela have brought to this community, and I know on behalf of all of your musicians and the rest of us who sit in the audience and enjoy it.
Yeah, we appreciate it just as much back. We know we have lots of support in the community for lots of things. So
anything else we need to know about these?
Well, you know, there's individuals who are doing solos in this concert all the way back from a gentleman who started trumpet only 6-7 years ago, and he's coming back to perform his first ever piece, The Godfather, on trumpet, and it was such a nightmare for him, but he's excited. We have a vocalist coming in to sing. We have piano solos as well, and fife and percussion duets coming up. So it's going to be a little bit of everything.
Are some of these people who still play with the symphony, or have they gone away and they're coming back, or what?
Most of these are the ones that are currently playing. We've had about a couple of them that are coming back, including the original first member who was with us, helping out the students 10 years ago.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Yeah. It's exciting. Now, you also have the North Coast Chamber Orchestra.
Yes.
That
mm-hmm.
plays. So that's why Corey has, you hear him in and out, but they're yeah. for different, all about music, however, yeah. and dedication to the community. And I wanted to read this quote that I don't know who Jane Swan is, mm-hmm. but how is it that music can, without words, evoke our laughter, our fears, our highest aspirations? Amen. Mm-hmm. And a woman. So,
and I, to my personal feeling, I don't think I want an answer for that one. I like to experience that it in my own
is.
Personal way. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. it just is. Yeah. So, bring your family, let your friends know. We are so rich in the arts here. Thank mm-hmm. you so much,
thank you.
Corey.
Thank you.
Okay,
girl.
And I want to play you a bit from Jenny Don't and the Spurs. And this is Call of the Road, and this is the title cut. And she is part of this first ever Seaside Music Festival. And again, that's tonight at 7 at the Elks, and then it starts tomorrow at 3. There are lots of different bands. So... come on over and check it out. And there are all different kinds of bands playing as well.
Crying here, crying all night long, and just like I was before you were mine, waiting here, waiting all night long, and just like I was before.
Confuse you or anything, but that is Jenny Don't and the I love this, Jenny Don't and the Spurs. It's a great name. That's part of the Seaside Music Festival. I also have a piece from the Lasses and Catherine Clare, and they are going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts in Long Beach tomorrow evening. Our very own Catherine Clare with the Dutch Duo. And they sing together and play together beautifully. So they're at the Peninsula Arts Center at 7 tomorrow evening. Also tomorrow, the Long Beach Razor Clam Festival. Columbia Theater in Longview has Golden Bough. Workers Tavern, Two Crows Joy. Pitchwood Ale House in Raymond. Basin Billy's, maybe I mentioned that. Sand Dune, the Res Electrics. Labor Temple at 10 o'clock tomorrow night is... shoring my writing, sorry. And then on Friday, they have tonight, they have Andy Main with comedy, and then tomorrow night is music, folk rock and Americana. And Astoria Arts and Movement Center, of course, has tango tomorrow night. It's the anniversary of the Columbine shooting. Think how much better it would be if all of our children had art in their lives. In the Sunday, a big one, the Performing Arts Center is hosting at 3 o'clock the University of Oregon Opera Ensemble Cascadia Concert Opera, Olay, a celebration of Spanish opera and zarzuelas in English and Spanish. That's Stars of Tomorrow, Performing Arts Center, 3 o'clock on Sunday. And that's a free concert. And Klatskanai is hosting at 3 o'clock the Oregon Symphonic Band. Susan Banyas is going to be at the Astoria Library Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And so...